We are 95.9 The Mountain, Taos's music station. Good morning, it is 7:35, Michael Dean here. It is now time for our Taos Tigers Talk with John Rainey. In the studio with John this morning, Nikki McCarty, the athletic director over at the Taos High School.
Here with Taos High School Athletic Director Nikki McCarty. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for coming by the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today. I'm glad to be here. It's always fun to be here and promote our Taos High School sports and activities.
And you are always accessible. I appreciate that. But it must be a little easier when things are going so well to come and talk on the radio when you have lots of success to talk about. I know in past years it hasn't been easy to explain some of the things that are going on, but something has happened in the last couple of years that has totally turned around the climate around Taos and around the whole high school. And suddenly from being, I hate to say it in front of you, you know, perennial doormats, you know, we've not had a lot of historical success record-wise or success-wise, but in the last 2 years, all of a sudden that has changed and changed across the board. So what happened? Does the athletic director get all the credit for that?
Oh, absolutely not. I just get to benefit from the success of all these other people doing all the hard work. And it's you know, I think we've always had really strong athletes. We've had good kids. We've had good coaches. For a while, we were in the 4A bracket for state, which put us, you know, with bigger schools that had a whole lot more students to choose from. And even though we were being very successful, we weren't successful enough at that larger level. And I believe it was my first year as athletic director that we actually dropped back down to the 3A division because of our enrollment numbers. Mm-hmm. And so I think that helped out a little bit. But I have to say we have really good kids. We have really great athletes and great students at Taos High School, but we also have really great coaches and sponsors and advisors. And we have a lot of local people back here in Taos that are leading our teams and our activities. And I think that in itself is a huge plus, because there's more to it than just wanting to win or wanting to be successful. They're wanting to give back to their community.
Gotcha. And let's go back for a minute talking about that jump down in classification from 4A to 3A, because I've been behind the microphone for Taos Tiger Athletics for 10 years now, and so I've sort of seen this change, and I used to gauge the participation as a sign of success. We weren't doing good on the scoreboard, our records weren't that good, but I remember seeing how many kids were involved, and I was always amazed at the 4A bracket. Just, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, the high school was over 900 students, 950 students, something like that, in the 4A category. And the football program at that time, freshman, JV, varsity, had a total of 18 kids in the program. We barely had enough kids to have a program. And I remember asking the superintendent at the time, saying, you know, it was Dr. Space at the time, saying, you know, 900 kids in the high school, roughly 450 boys in the school. How come there's only 18 playing football? But now we've dropped down into the 600-something, lower classification, less students, but more students participating in the sports. How does that translate? How does that work?
I think it's the dynamic of the coaches, of the leaders, of the sponsors. I think it's that family concept. For example, with football, Coach Flavio Lopez, he believes in teaching a family concept. He loves to win, don't get me wrong, but he puts family and community first. And so he's teaching these kids to feel like they belong and they're part of a family and of a community. And you see that. You see that in the large numbers. I mean, we went from, like you said, 18 participants to over 60 consistently. You know, last summer, he would have practice every morning at 6 o'clock, and I'd think, okay, he started out with, you know, 50 plus kids. It's going to dwindle down. And it didn't. It never did. He kept those 50 plus kids coming every single day. And not only were they there and ready to go at 6 o'clock, they were there and ready to go at 5:45. So it was just amazing to me.
Right. And so you have a 30% drop in number of students at the high school, and yet you triple the number of students involved in football. And I do want to touch on football in particular, because that's a real success story, and it's one of the ones that really stands out, and I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, over the last 10 years, the football program had averaged around 2 wins a season. Okay, so that's stating the obvious. That's not real good for a long time. A lot of turnover in coaches, had 4 head coaches in 5 years, and so trying to find that right fit. And then under your tenure, and I know how it works, there's a committee involved, but under your tenure, the school goes out and hires a first-time head coach, a young guy, never been a head coach before. And then in my mind, seeing Taos not having a lot of success, not being in a football culture, you hire a local guy, somebody that's come through the program, and then he instantly turns things around. And it was palpable. A 7-3 season and playoffs in his very first year as a head coach, started off 3-0, you know, where after winning no more than 2 or 3 games for, you know, a year for decades before, that's an incredible turnaround. And so the question is, since you brought it up too, you know, is it the coach? Can one coach make that kind of difference coming into a program and turning around a culture of winning 2 games a year for a decade into being a 7-win playoff caliber team immediately? How can one coach do that?
Well, I think it was his commitment, his dedication, his being here. You know, we had an improvement, a little improvement when Coach Maldonado was here. He was there for 3 years, and we were seeing a few wins. We were seeing a few larger numbers, but he wasn't here. He was still living in Las Vegas, and I think he took Taos Tigers as far as he was ever going to take them, being the commitment he could give us, the time he could give us. It just wasn't there. He wasn't part of our community. Flavio mm-hmm. came home. He was a hometown boy. He was part of our community. He cared about our community. He cares about our kids. He has a vested interest in our community and in our kids. And, he was able to come in and just, again, motivate these young men, giving them something I think they were very hungry for, but just never got in the past few years with the turnover and coaching staff. He gave them that sense of empowerment, belonging, the feeling of there's more to us than just a win. It's about family, and it's about brotherhood, and it's about representing our school and our community to the best of their abilities.
Right, and I've bragged about him. Of course, the 7-3 season in his first year here, and then this year, 10-2 state semifinalists. And so it wasn't a fluke, a first year thing. And I had asked him previously in previous interviews about why the turnaround and how he's getting these same kids to perform at a higher level. And I was almost shocked at the simplicity of his answer. And he said, because I asked them to. He says, if you ask that, if you set that as an expectation, say, I want you to do more, that the kids respond. And he said, if you don't ask it of them, they won't automatically give it to you. And that perhaps in all fields of the school, whether it's academics or other programs, that if you don't set high expectations, they're not going to automatically reach up there. And so he deflected credit away from himself and put it all on the kids and said, well, you know, I asked them to do it, and they are capable of doing it.
Yeah, they definitely are. And that's the thing. We don't lack academic talent. I mean, these kids are very talented young athletes in all of our programs. And you're right. He asked them to do it, but they care enough about him. He's got a rapport with them that even when these kids get mad at him, even when he fires them up and makes them mad, they still want to perform for him. Mm-hmm. And it's been not just, you know, saying, okay, I want you to do it for me. There's also that hard work involved. He has put in countless hours. I can't even tell you the number of hours he's put in. His assistant coaches have put in countless hours, but so have the kids. The kids are there, you know, all the time, reviewing game film, lifting weights. They're there. They're putting in that time and that commitment that it takes to be successful. They're not just saying we want to be successful. They're actually committing to being successful and working hard. And we can't leave out that one component of hard work.
I mean, absolutely. And setting the expectation, as Coach Lopez has, that's what's necessary and asking of them. But because it strikes me from knowing the students in the past, the athletes, the Dakota Swinehearts, now mm-hmm. playing college ball. So the talent was there, but as a 4-year starter at quarterback, he never got to taste that kind of success as a team. And so it strikes me that particularly when we had more students to choose from, mm-hmm. 600, 700, 800 students, a larger pool of athletes, and we couldn't put it together somehow. And yet, not just in football. And again, Coach Lopez, you know, stands out as this amazing example of how one coach comes in after a revolving door of coaches, you know, many coaches in the years prior to that. And then it's the right fit at the right time, mm-hmm. saying the right things in our community. But at the same time, and I go back to you as athletic director and in your position covering a lot of the sports and activities as well, it's not just football. I mean, this year alone, girls soccer district championship, boys runner-up, cross-country district champions, wrestling district champions, boys basketball district champions, football state semifinalists. It's like all of a sudden, Taos is the team to beat in all sports. And not just that, you know, as the state rankings, as the schools go, the high school is the highest ranked academic school in the district. And then other activities, cheerleaders doing very well and they compete. And then, you know, one of my points of interest, you know, being behind the microphone for all the football games, even the band program has mm-hmm. gone from non-existent to very tiny last year. And this year, traveling and performing away games, their numbers have tripled in the last 2 years. What is going on with the culture of Taos right now that things are improving so fast and there's so much success?
Well, and just like with football, with band, we brought back a hometown boy. He came home, Ryan Alley. He was a key member to our band. I think he was what do they call the student leader? Drum major.
Drum major.
He
mm-hmm.
was the drum major for the band. He came back. That guy has so much energy and enthusiasm. And he's just added that to the band and his excitement.
And we told his story before. I've talked about him during the games because, again, a Taos High School graduate, went away to college, mm-hmm. was successful, and then went to Europe and sang opera, a very talented musician in his own right, and decided to come back home, much like Coach Lopez did in his football coaching. Mr. Lay comes back, sees a band program that's non-existent, starts mm-hmm. from scratch, and instantly, again, just like we talked with football numbers, even though there's fewer students on campus, the numbers in the organization have risen dramatically. There was 8 his first year, and on the very last game of the year, they had 8 kids out on the field to perform for the first time. And again, I've been covering the games for 10 years, and that's the first time ever that the band performed on the field. This year, there was 25, I think, somewhere in there with mm-hmm. uniforms and performed multiple times. So again, immediate success. And from, this case, not a coach, but the band director coming back and maybe one person taking that vested interest in really making a difference.
You know, I think it's the kids see they care about them. They want to belong. They want to participate. And when you get somebody out there that says, you can do it, and we want you to be involved, and we want you to be part of our program, sometimes a kid just needs an invitation. Hey, come be part of us. And then they see the success of the programs. And everybody wants to be part of a success. Everybody wants to be part of that team, that program that's just doing well, and people want to be a part of it. Kids want to be a part of it. Kids want to participate. I think sometimes it just takes the right individual to say, hey, come join us and get them
well,
there.
Well, that was my question, I think it was 7 years ago, when Dr. Space was the superintendent, saying 450 boys roughly in the high school or more and 18 in the football program. I said, well, where are they? It's not like there was one. I mean, we had some years we had good soccer teams at the time, mm-hmm. but that accounts for maybe 20 students. It's like, where are all these students going? What are they doing in their spare time? What are they choosing over athletics mm-hmm. of any kind? And he didn't have a good answer for that. Of course, we have skiing and hunting and fishing and great things here in our environment, but that didn't account for, you know, where are 400 high school boys disappearing to after school and not participating. But now we see, even with less students on campus, all of the sports are flush with athletes, flush with students. Mm-hmm. The numbers are way up across the board, and that fascinates me.
They are. You know, this year is the first year we had a full team for wrestling in years. You know, it was so nice to have a wrestler in every weight class. I mean, that contributed to our success as district champions.
Including some state champion individuals
and, you know, numerous second, third, fourth place winners as well. And you know, again, we've got a coach that has a vested interest in the program. He was a two-time state champion. He brought back some of the old traditions to the wrestling program. And again, the kids believe he cares about them. That's that sense of, we care about you. We want you to be part of our team. And he kept a full squad. He kept a pretty full JV squad, even though they didn't have a whole lot of tournaments to participate in. So again, it's that the coach cares about me. The coach wants me there. I want to be there, and I want to do well because I know that's the expectation. And I don't dare miss because they care about me, and I know they're going to be calling me to find out where I'm at. You know, I think you mentioned those small numbers. We had a few coaches, especially in football, there for a while, where they weren't from here. They didn't really care. They could have cared less if the kid was at practice or not. You know, I'm sure there wasn't a phone call home or a text message or a, hey, where are you? Why aren't you at weightlifting today? You know, kids feel like they got to be there. If they're not there, they know they're being missed, and
they
think
they're
that's
being watched.
The key.
That's one side of being in a small town, small community, mm-hmm. is everybody sort of knows your business, and if you're not at practice, somebody's going to know where you are instead.
Yeah, right. So, but I think too that the fact that they know that the coach cares and mm-hmm. wants them there, that's a key factor. You know, and real quick, John, before we run out of time, I just want to bring into the. Our athletics are doing extremely well. You focused on our school. You focused on band. We have other programs at the high school, culinary arts, that is just phenomenal.
That's a famous program, yes for a school that has struggled historically, academically, at least in the eyes of the state rankings. Our culinary arts program competes nationally.
They do.
And is just fantastic.
And as well as our speech and debate, the number of national participants we've had, and BPA, Business Professionals of America, our HOSA program.
So encompassing the entire school effort there, you know, we've talked about Ryan LA coming back to run mm-hmm. the band program, Flavio Lopez coming back as a first-time head coach and in immediate success with the football program, Benji running the culinary arts program, and he had restaurants here in Taos, was local, mm-hmm. was a professional, and comes back to work with the kids to give them another avenue to have success in their life. I know of something about the process in the schools, that there's committees that you interview multiple people and you look at their resumes and you make a group decisions. Can you tell me anything about, has there been a concerted effort to seek out these local individuals that might be more invested in the community and more invested in the actual success of these kids? Because you said it yourself, some of the other coaches we brought in, terrific credentials, you know, from out of state, other programs, you know, had success, but they come in here and didn't have the same level of success that it seems like that the locals that we've hired have come mm-hmm. back home, taken a personal interest in it, not necessarily taking the job as a stepping stone, but because they want to help their community and having immediate success. And it seems mm-hmm. to be a theme. Is there, is there some sort of effort being made to try to stay local and have talent from within to have an impact, or is that just coincidence?
You know, I think it's coincidence. We can't actively go out and recruit somebody. I mean, it's an equal opportunity employer for everyone. You post it, you hope mm-hmm. that you get the good candidates to apply. You know, there's times when we get no one to apply for a coach. And I'm out there begging people, please just apply, you know. For the most part, you know, we just cross our fingers and hope we get someone. And fortunately, the timing was right for Flavio to come home. Timing was right for Ryan to come home. So we've just, you know, benefited from the fact that they've wanted to come home. And that's always really nice when we get our graduates that do want to come home and have been successful when they were in school, have gone out into the world and have been successful, and then still want to come back home and help other kids to find that success.
And we may see that now in another 20 years with this current wave of success, the last
yes.
couple of years where, the rising tide raises all ships. Apparently all the activities, all the programs, the high school doing very well right now, which had not been the case for a while, but now all these kids are having success. And there's the phenomenon called the brain drain, where the best and the brightest go away to college, get inspired by other things, and then stay away and don't come back. Now we've seen this wave of locals coming back and having a real impact on our small community. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the kids that are benefiting from that success now, once they go away to college and get a little experience, they can come back and continue that success within our community. And frankly, I look forward to that. That's going to be exciting to see the kids that we're talking about now that are having success, whether it's in the band program or the culinary arts or the football team, mm-hmm. coming back to take over that coaching position when Coach Lopez retires from 20 years at Taos High School, hopefully. Then we'll see a whole new wave of success.
Right. And that's what I hope for as well. You know, I mean, I am so excited to be part of Taos Tiger Athletics. You know, I know that in past interviews and when I first got hired, you know, I was a Raton girl, but I've lived in Taos longer than I lived in Raton. And my big joke's always been, I've never changed my stripes. I'm always a tiger. I was a tiger when I went to school and I'm still a tiger. Now the only thing that's changed is my stripes are orange as opposed to gold. And I think the orange stripes fit me much better than the gold ones did. And I've been in Taos so much longer that I feel like Taos is more my home than Raton was. So,
once again, part of that formula, you know, someone invested in the community being here and making a difference. And it's a good time to be a Taos Tiger, with all our programs doing good, and hopefully that bodes well for the future. We're out of time here today, but thanks for coming into the studio and visiting with us about things beyond just being athletic director, but the activities around that, and commenting too on the whole school suddenly after many, many years of sort of not being successful statistically, suddenly everything's going good, and it's a great time to be a Tiger.
It is. Thank you for having me, and come out and support our Taos Tigers one way or the other, whether it be athletics, activities, or academics. Support our Tigers.
Great. That's Nikki McCarty, Taos High School Athletic Director, in the studio with us. And we'll be back right after this.